Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
It is good to be here. Thank you, Philip. Philip is a well-loved and greatly respected guy in the Shofar movement and beyond. Always love spending time with him because he's got these incredible ideas. It's like, just, Philip, what's the latest? Tell me, man. How should we really do it? You know, and it's just awesome. So I want to honor you for your faithfulness. And yeah, this church has been a blessing to many, many of us. Just the stories of what God has done here. And it's inspiring. You guys are inspiring. Amen. Let's say it. We are inspiring. Yes. So I want to ask my wife quickly to come and stand with me. This is Sonica. She is the love of my life. Let's give her a hand. When we got married around almost 16 years ago, and it's just getting better. Hallelujah. And so originally when we got married, I thought, didn't say it, but I thought it, she's a lucky woman. And over time, I realized I'm the lucky man. Honestly, there's so many things that God has done. And in you, Sonica, it was for 3 years that she battled with this insomnia and this depression. And I literally prayed for her hundreds of times in the nights. Twice a night, I would wake up and lay hands on her and trust that Jesus would set her free. And I came to realize that every crisis we face is simply an invitation to encounter more of God. So God used Sonica so powerfully in my life. She loves people. She loves relationships. She is the most godly woman that I've ever met. She's not perfect, but she's such a godly woman, and God has used her so powerfully in my life, and so I want to say to you this morning that this relationship, our marriage, is more important to me than ministry. I would leave the ministry tomorrow if I have to choose between our marriage, my family, our family, and the ministry. It's just something God has placed in my heart, in my life, that I need to get my priorities straight. I need to get my things in order. And so Sonic has really rubbed off on me over the years. And I'm so thankful that I wouldn't be the man I'm today if it wasn't for her. So she's amazing. She really is amazing. I want to give her a platform. I wish all the women in the world would listen to what Christ has placed within her. The world will be a different place, I promise you. She's got such a godliness and a humility and a meekness and a culture of honor in her life that it's just impacted my life. So let's give her a hand again. So I want to share with you this morning about the fivefold ministry. I'm going to share this morning about the pastoral flow, this evening about the evangelistic flow. I in general gun the apostolic flow and the prophetic flow, but I'll have to come back for that later. But I feel God wants to highlight this. So I want to share with you. I said it in the video as well. I believe this is my mandate. Me and Sonica, this is our mandate. This is our commission from God. Make my bride beautiful again. I don't know about you, but a lot of people are put off by church. They say, "Ah, Jesus is nice, but I don't like that body. Ugh, it's a bit of a monster. It's like a Frankenstein." You know, that's how many people experience it. That's how they feel so often about church. We've so badly represented God. And I believe the Lord wants to make His bride beautiful and powerful again. So I was sharing with our church, this is our mission. Guys, our mission is let's make the bride of Christ beautiful and powerful again. And then one of the guys said, "Oh, okay." So like, Sonica beautiful, you powerful, yes. The two parts, you know. But about 8 years ago, we started the church in East London. And going there, I made a decision, because I was a youth pastor previously, student pastor previously, and went to East London. I said, we're going to do it differently. I'm no longer going to run around like a headless chicken at the expense of my wife, at the expense of our family. My mission, our mission is to show the world that your ministry can flourish and your family can flourish at the same time. How about that? Your business, your work, your career flourishing and your family flourishing. It shouldn't be the one or the other. It should be both. Amen. And I believe God has called us to model it, to be a lighthouse, to be a light, a beacon of hope, to say, guys, come on, let's do it better. Let's do it better. So we were in Brazil. We were invited to do this revival conference for like a week or so. And the Sunday was amazing. We had three back-to-back services at this huge church, and things were happening. People were getting healed. I personally prayed for more than 40 people that were healed in front of me. Deaf ears, things disappearing from their bodies. One lady, she came in on a wheelchair. She pushed the wheelchair out of the church. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on, he's powerful. He's glorious. We saw close to 400 people physically healed in a week. 150 people committed their lives to Jesus. And it was just God was just moving. The senior pastor, the senior pastor told one of his pastors who was going to preach at another church and said, go and do the same as they did. Go, do the same. So the guy goes to this church and he was really tired. And so he's sleeping in the car and he told them, call me when I need to come and preach. So now he's sleeping in the car 5 minutes before he needs to start preaching. They call him and say he's coming. He's not feeling well. He has a headache himself. But the pastor said, we must release the same, do the same. So he preached at the end of the service. He said, okay, who's sick in the house? Half of the place, hands go up. Brazilians have a lot of needs. And then he called them forward and said, okay, now the rest of you come and pray for them. And the healings just started to break out and God was just moving. It was just amazing. So anyway, so we had the Sunday night service and these three services. God was moving. I was like, this is amazing. At the end of the service, one of the services, the apostle Ari, who invited us, he said to me, the next church is the church of 60,000. I'm like, yes, let's do it. So we're hoping still to go back at some stage. But anyway, so we had these amazing services. And on there, we're going to have rest day on Monday. And then Tuesday night, we were going to speak about marriage and about relationships. We've been talking about the apostolic flow and the prophetic flow and healing and the kingdom. And it was exciting and the people were psyched and things was happening. It was amazing. But on the Tuesday night, we're going to focus on marriage and relationships, the pastoral flow. And Sonica was going to speak. So now I really felt like a powerful man of God that Sunday night. I felt like, yes, this is amazing. Now I'm looking for my wife. Where's my wife? Where's my wife? So I'm going down and walking around. Anybody see my wife? And I pointed to the bathrooms there. And then I went there. My wife was in tears there, standing, just crying. And what's wrong? Says, everything you've ministered, it is so exciting. And now we're going to do boring relationships on Tuesday night. And I just don't want to do it. So now the man of God is standing in the bathroom with his wife crying. It's okay. It's okay. And I told Sonica, your thing is it. It is way more powerful, way more special than all the other stuff combined. You see, if our relationships fail, if our marriages fall apart, everything else unravels. Doesn't matter how powerful you are. Doesn't matter how much anointing you have in your life. If your relationships fail, everything fails. And so it was amazing. So Sonic was still like, God, speak to us. And so I want to put this diagram on the screen, the fivefold ministry. In the book, I speak about this. So you have the apostolic flow, the prophetic flow, pastoral flow, teaching flow, evangelistic flow. I believe the Lord showed me that there's a river of life that flows from the throne of God. Wherever this river flows, it brings life. Revelation 22 speaks about this. There's a river of life. Then in John chapter 7, Jesus speaks, And he says, he who believes in me, say believe. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers, say rivers. Rivers, there are rivers flowing out of our inner being. Those who believe, not the special or the elite or the super somebody, those who believe. So I believe there are five rivers in the Spirit, an apostolic flow. If you get into the apostolic flow, into that river, you're going to pray for people, they're going to be healed. You're going to pray for people and they're going to be delivered. I mean, we saw ordinary, average people in our church just seeing unbelievable miracles happen through them. Just get in there and just get into the anointing. Get into the presence of God. Then the prophetic flow go back to the diagram, please. The prophetic flow is about the presence of God. That's our worship and our prayer. It creates an environment where the kingdom of God can come. The pastoral flow, the mission is relationships flourish. The teaching flow is the word become flesh. Evangelistic flow, souls win. Every one of the fivefold ministry have a different mission. If you put the five of them together in one room, you'll probably have chaos. Because they all have a different mission. The pastor is, what about the relationships? The evangelist, what about the souls? The prophetic guy, why would we not go deeper in the Spirit? And the pastor says, come on, let's set people free. Let the kingdom of God come. The fivefold, it's five missions that I believe God wants to release. And you see this in the book of Acts. You see this in the revival in the book of Acts. You see all five rivers flowing in the first five chapters, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In there, you see five rivers flowing. You see people being saved in the evangelistic flow. Every day, daily people saved. They were sitting at the apostles' doctrine, they were receiving the apostles' doctrine, the teaching flow. There were also pastoral flow. There was supernatural unity in the community. Thousands of people were so united that they would leave their possessions, give it unto one another to bless one another. Now that's supernatural. Prophetic flow, they were worshiping and praying daily. Apostolic flow, even Peter's shadow healed the sick. Fivefold ministry, five rivers. So I believe that the body of Christ, the church of Jesus, would become beautiful and powerful again when all five rivers, five anointings are flowing in the local church. That's our mission. We want to see revival, sustainable revival. So anyway, back to the story in terms of in Brazil now. So the Monday night, the senior leader, the apostle, the senior leader of the church invited another couple with of a large ministry in Brazil. And they came for prayer because the wife of the pastor was sick. So as we were praying for her, and just releasing blessing over her, the Lord led us to start praying for their marriage, just ministering into their marriage. And at the end of the time of prayer, the senior leader of this other church said to me, he saw a vision. Now, he wasn't in any of our meetings. He hasn't seen that diagram, but I've been speaking about that diagram now for like 5 days at that stage. He said to me, I saw a vision of like a Greek temple with the glory of God at the top and five pillars. Five pillars upholding the glory of God. It looked like that, but he hasn't seen it. And then he said, but the middle one, the middle column was bigger and higher. It's like it kept everything together. Which is what is the middle one? The pastoral relationships and people that flourish. That spoke to me because I was telling Sonica, this thing is it. This is the glue, the pastoral flow where people feel loved and valued and celebrated and safe. It's the glue that keeps the body of Christ. It brings a unity from where God can move like you cannot imagine. And so the Lord spoke to me some years ago and he said to me, create an environment that is safe for my people. Create an environment that is safe. A place where I can send my people to get healed up and restored in their hearts. And we've been seeing this. We have now a bunch of guys, especially two guys, I'm thinking of two leaders. They were pastors. One was a pastor for 15 years. The other was a pastor for 10 years. in different church groups, and they lost their way. One was divorced, broken. They became so disillusioned with church, they didn't want anything to do with church until someone invited them to our church. And they experienced the real deal. A place where people feel safe, a place where people feel valued and celebrated. And their lives have been transformed. A safe place, a church must be a place where people don't get hurt, where they get celebrated and loved and valued and really feel safe. Amen. That's what it should be. And I believe me, in this church, obviously the Lord is really doing so much. But I want to encourage you to just go next level. There's more. There's more. There's more. So the five are the middle one. Relationships and people flourish. And this value system, this is this one value that we live by. Everybody is a somebody in Christ. Everybody is a somebody in Christ. You know, our mission is to remove the lid off people's lives, not put a lid on them. Some people interpret the scriptures always as limiting, limiting, limiting. I'm thinking, come on, all things are possible with God. Let's remove the lid. The arms of God are wide open to every one of us, saying you're more than what you think because Christ lives in you. Let's say I'm more than what I think. You are. You are. Jesus took 12 nobodies. He turned them into world changers. He loves to do it because he gets the glory. If you feel like a nobody, you qualify. Everybody's a somebody in Christ. Imagine we would start, imagine creating an environment where world changers can rise up, where people start believing in who they are in God. That's what the Lord wants to do. That's the environment he wants to create. But the pastoral flow is that key, that key. So our mission is, or our ministry value is, relationships are the mission above every other mission. If I have to choose between our relationship and a ministry goal, I choose our relationship. I don't know about you, but that's quite radical in general. That's quite radical. Relationship is the mission. It is the mission. That's what Jesus said, love one another. He told his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Because he knew that will create an environment of unity, being in one accord, so at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the kingdom of God can come like never before. Unity, people whose hearts are for one another. But I believe there's a supernatural anointing that flows, that causes relationships and marriages to flourish. Dream with me for a moment. Now, this is just the pastoral flow. Imagine our community, the communities outside there would hear, and would people tell one another, if your marriage is battling, just go to that church. Because in that church, relationships flourish. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if the church of Jesus Christ is known, it becomes known, for if you get plugged in there, if you get planted there, your relationships will flourish. That's my dream. I want our whole community to talk about, go to Shofar. Go to Shofar. There you're going to get healed up. There your marriage will be restored. I received a word from the Lord some years ago, and I felt the Lord say to me, divorce will be unheard of in your midst. Divorced people are welcome. We love everybody. But if you get plugged in, God's going to heal up your heart. God's going to heal up your marriage and cause your marriage to flourish. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people flock into the church? Because what do they want? They want relationships that work. They want marriages that work. They want this so badly, and they don't know where, how do you do this? So I believe there's a supernatural anointing that God wants to release through his body, through you and me, to make us beautiful again. Let's say it. He's making us beautiful again. Amen. He is. He is. Oh, we had a lovely testimony this past week. We've been ministering on on the healing at East Shofar's London. And the one lady brought, a mom came. She has trigeminal neuralgia. It's called the suicide disease. It's a pain here on the side of your face, on the nerves. It feels like someone's taking a brick and hitting it, you in the face with it. It's called the suicide disease because so many people have taken their lives. So she's had it for 5 years, prayed with her, and she was healed. Next Sunday, she testified. First time in 5 years that she could smile and laugh. She's got her life back. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. So our mission is to see how deep can we get these rivers to flow. How great can we get the healing, deliverance, freedom, anointing to flow. How great, how deep can we go in worship and in prayer? How deep can we go in terms of a relational anointing that causes relations to flourish? How deep can we go in terms of the Word of God becoming a living reality in our lives, having integrity and godliness and humility and meekness, the Word becoming living reality? How many souls can we get saved? What anointing can there be? Do you think it's possible again where we could say, and daily the Lord added to the church? I believe there's a revival coming. I believe there are massive waves of glory going to hit South Africa. The question is, will we be ready? Will we know what to do when the glory of God moves? It's coming. If you've read about revivals in the past, it's good. We need it. We need it. Revival broke out in Britain at some stage. They had to shut down all the prisons because there was just no crime. I'm like, Jesus, South Africa. We need that. We need it. But relationships is the foundation upon which the glory of God can rest. Divided churches, it's game over. Divided marriages, it's over. So the Lord wants to restore and heal. Amen. So my question to you is, in this part of the pastoral flow, are we representing the heart of God? Are we? You know, you can be right, but are you being Christ-like? So I sometimes think about guys, some men, who like, they're right, wife is wrong. I'm like, yep, you're right. You might be right. You're going to sleep alone and cold for a very, very long time. I'd rather humble myself. I'd rather humble myself and say, I'm sorry, come on, let's get over the right. Let's be Christ-like. Let's represent the heart of the Father. We can do miracles and signs and wonders, but if someone doesn't feel loved, who cares? Missing the heart of God. I've made up my mind, if my wife ever leaves me, I'm going with her. Amen. Relationships. You know, Sonic is the worship pastor in our church. And also my assistant pastor and leader and preacher, she preaches really well. Keeps me humble as well. Every now and again, when she ministers, like, everybody, that's the most amazing service ever. And I'm like, yeah, praise God. It was. I agree. It was amazing. But there's something about team ministry. There's something about believing in one another and unlocking, drawing out the fullness of what Jesus has placed within that other person. Jesus has designed the kingdom of God in such a way that none of us can achieve our destinies on our own. You need the people around you. You and I, we need the people around us. Sonica is a key for our church. It makes a massive difference. I mean, we had a word some years ago where the Lord said to us that Sonica has the key for this church. Do you know what impact it has on a congregation when a pastor's wife gets up and says, this man is everything you see here right now. He is a man of integrity, etc. It's just amazing how we can build one another up, celebrate one another. Husbands, there's more in your wife than what you think. For 15 years, I've said to Sonica, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. No, I can't. You can do it. You can do it. Get up. Go and do that offering message. Go teach at Bible school. Come on. You can do it at Awaken. You can preach to 1,300 women. You can share the word of God. You've got so much to give. They need to hear it. I can't give them to them what you need to give to them. Amen. And so for every one of us, God wants to raise up team ministry where we to do it together for His glory. So this is our mission. We want to remove the lid of people's limitations on who they are in Christ. Say, come on, there's more in you. Let's do it together. Amen. God wants to make His bride beautiful again. Let's say it. Jesus is making His bride beautiful again. Amen. And you can play that role. You can make that happen. 1 Timothy 3 verse 4 to 5 speaks of this. It says about the relational thing, this is about leadership, he must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? So what God is saying is, my bride is a family, my church is a family. And if you can't cut it at home, you probably can't cut it as a leader in the church. You see, I can fake it from the pulpit for a season, but I can't fake it at home. You can fake it for a while, but not at home. What our family says about us is ultimately who we are. What's your wife saying about you, husband? What is she saying about you? What are your children saying about you? Because that's the test. That's the test. Who are we at home? Who are we when no one sees? And so God is inviting us. I'll ask myself this question. Let me first put it like this. I am the pastor to my own family long before I'm the pastor of the church. Ministry begins at home. It doesn't end at home. It must move beyond the home, but it begins at home. What is the point if I lead thousands to Christ, but my own boy, 8-year-old son, Vian, loses his way? What's the point? No success outside of the home can make up for failure within the home. No success outside of the home can make up for failure within the home. I am a failure if my son doesn't follow Jesus. We are. But praise God, he loves church. He actually fights with us when we don't have a service. Dad, why don't we have church? I want to go to church. He loves it. And so about 2 years ago, we went to Argentina, and on the last day, awesome month or a week or two of ministry, we went back to the airport, and we were high-fiving one another. It was awesome, incredible miracles, people coming to Christ, God was moving, and booked our luggage in, went to a coffee shop. I put my bag down, and one of the guys in the team were joking with me, one of my elders, Rion, is like, oh, you're real sissy, a little money belt around the waist. Real man just puts his stuff down, type of thing. So I'm like, okay, fine. Took off my money belt, passport in it, and I put it in the bag. Passport, people. Passport in the bag. So we're laughing, ha-ha. 1 minute later, something's wrong. I look down, my bag's gone. 20 minutes before we had to board. Team boards, I stay behind, another lady stays behind. All hell breaks loose. Someone stole the bag. So now I'm left behind in Argentina, trying to get back to South Africa. Long story short, that night, around 11 o'clock, I'm back at the pastor's house. I hear a voice say to me, now I'm going to torment you. Like a devilish voice. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a long night. So from 11 o'clock till around 3 o'clock, I was worshiping and praying, and I feel like, oh, I feel horrible. I'm like wrestling with powers of darkness, and it was just really hectic. But around 3 o'clock, I broke through. And as I weird to explain, I know this is a spiritual concept, but I felt my spirit walking into the throne room of heaven. I saw the throne of God. I saw God highly enthroned. I felt God say to me, now approach and ask me to bless you. Ask me to bless you. And I said, I felt God say, ask me for South America. Ask me. And then from there, the Lord opened doors to these big churches in Brazil. And ask me for my fullness. I want to give it to you. And so out of that, we got back to South Africa. And for about, we just had action for like 2 weeks. I couldn't sleep. I was worshiping and praying day and night. Crying out to God. This is a weird season of our lives. The Lord was unlocking a whole bunch of things that he wanted to do. Wanted to set us free as well in our hearts. But in those 2 weeks, our little boy, Vian, he's 8 years old. About a year before, he was five at that stage, and we said to him, you can hear the voice of God. So he went to his room, and he didn't hear anything. And he came back and says, this doesn't work. Doesn't even know if this is real, this God thing. So now I think he was six. And it's in this time where we are worshiping and praying day and night. So he goes to his room again, and he comes back to Sonica later with tears running down his face. He had a God encounter. In his room, he saw a light, bright light entering his room, and Jesus walking out of this light, starting to speak to him. And he took him places. He had two such encounters. Took him to church, and Jesus took him to church in a vision, and he showed him, like, from the pulpit, there were things entering the people's heads. And Jesus said, they're being equipped to fight the devil. Isn't that cool? And then Jesus took him to heaven and said to him, Vian, your name is written in the book of life, and mommy and daddy's names are also written in the book of life. Yes, I made it. And then Jesus said that one of these two encounters, he showed him the earth, but it was golden with this big lock on it. And Jesus said to him, that's the new earth. One day, you're going to go there. It's not ready yet, but one day, you're going to go there. He's never heard about the new earth. Isn't that amazing? 6 year old encountering Jesus. Amen. It's not good enough for us as adults to encounter Jesus. Our children must love Jesus. Our children must love church. Our children must love everything about God. If we're not having fun, something's wrong. I believe God wants us to transition and to lay a platform for our children to go next level. It's possible. Amen. He wants our children to encounter Jesus, but he wants you first to encounter him and then to create an environment where God can. So I want to ask you this question. Why does it matter if we do great things for God, but our own children lose their way? Pastoral flow will never allow the children to go lost. Pastoral anointing, where relationships flourish, people flourish, where we can transfer it to our children. Amen. So the Lord asked me a few weeks ago, I felt God asked me this question. Can I trust you with everything I want to pour out into you? Can I trust you? Can I trust you with everything I want to give you? Can I trust you? Can I trust you to be loving and kind and gracious and humble and meek? Can I trust you to be relational? Can I trust you to bring glory to my name? Can I trust you? Can God trust us? He wants to. He wants to. So I just want to end off with this one scripture. Well, time is short. Next scripture. Greater works. You probably know this verse. John 14:12. You either hate it or you like it. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, the works that I do, you will do also. Like, you must be kidding me, Jesus. Same as Jesus. Come on. He says, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So we were in Brazil, and I was in worship, and I felt God asked me this question. Would you like to know how is it possible for you to do greater works than Jesus? Who would like to know? I'd like to know. I was like, yes, Lord, tell us. How can we do greater works than Jesus? I mean, because Jesus is Jesus. And the Lord gave me the answer and said to me, the power of community. The power of community, and he unpacked it for me. The Lord showed me that in the Gospels, Jesus was the only Spirit-filled believer. He was the only one. He had the fullness of the Spirit upon his life. He was completely surrendered to God. And amazing things happened. But he was the only one. In the book of Acts, there was a community of thousands of people united by the love of God. Thousands of people filled with the Holy Spirit, worshiping and praying day and night. Result, greater works. Greater works. Even Peter's shadow healed the sick. We don't know if it ever happened with Jesus. They found out, just put him in the shadow. And that's what they did. They would bring people from all over the surrounding towns of Jerusalem to just come and lay them down on the street corner so that when Peter would walk past, his shadow would touch them and they would be healed. There was such a measure of glory in being carried by the community, the bride of Christ. The bride was beautiful and powerful. They were respected by everybody, and God was moving. Why not again? Why not again? Why can't this be again? Why can't we position ourselves in the midst of these five rivers of life, see the bride become beautiful and powerful? Every story I'm sharing with you is an invitation for you to have the same and more. Every testimony is an invitation for the same and more. That's what I'm sharing. I release your faith that you may become hungry and thirsty for more of God. The bride is going to be beautiful again. Amen. So how's your value system? How's your value system? What is your number one priority? Are your priorities right? And I'm not saying we just all stay at home with our little family afraid of the world and just protective type of thing. That's not the will of God. It's just like I'm gonna create an environment where my family feels safe. My wife knows ministry is not my mistress. She knows that our family is more important than anything else. So they feel safe. They feel valued. They feel loved. All the husbands in the house, how does your wife feel? I don't know. There's probably a lot of single people here as well. But just make a note for one day. Note for one day. This is what God wants to do. He wants to make his bride beautiful. Hallelujah. So I'm going to leave it there with you. But I believe it's coming. I believe there's coming a time where people are going to speak in the community and say, if you're looking for Jesus, go to that church. Go to the church. You're going to find Jesus. They're going to flock to our churches because Jesus is going to be there. Jesus is going to be here in such a measure that's undeniable. Amen. Please stand with me. I'm going to ask a few guys to share a few. My team are going to come and share a few words. I just want to pray for us. And so maybe just before we do that, just something about the book. It's in the, foyer area if you want to get the book. But the idea is to renew your mind and to reposition yourself in these rivers. So one of the staff at Shofar Durbanville said to me, she said to me that she's on day 3 and already 3 people healed of my book. She has an impartation. One of the other ladies in our church said she gave this to her Catholic friend who doesn't know Jesus and she's loving it. So you can use it with anybody. Really want to encourage you to get it. Okay, just open your hands. Want to pray for us. And then we're going to trust God to do something here in our midst. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, right now we release, we ask for a release of the pastoral flow of relationships and people flourishing, God. A supernatural anointing to heal hearts. Father, I pray specifically. I just feel there's some of us here, you've, in a sense, been disillusioned with church. Maybe hurt, maybe wounded with just through life experience. If you've, in a sense, feel that you've lost a little bit of hope or been disillusioned with church in general, would you quickly just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thanks. You can drop your hands. God, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here right now. Lord, I pray that our disappointments would not negate anything of who you are and what your true plan is for your bride. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for every relationship represented here, every marriage where the fire has dwindled, the passion, the love has dwindled. God, we ask that you'd heal, restore hope and passion. God, Holy Spirit, right now, just touch every heart in this place. Heal hearts. Lord, I pray for walls around hearts to be removed. Just want to share this with you. A while ago, I was bitterly disappointed and disillusioned in a leadership scenario. And the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, the only reason you're disillusioned is because you're looking at man and not at God. The only reason, Jesus, the only reason we become disillusioned is because when we look away from God and we look at man, look to Jesus. He is the head of the church. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for disillusionment and disappointment to be removed and for hearts to be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.